This week, operators of the Three Mile Island nuclear plant said it will close ahead of schedule, unable to compete with cheap natural gas. The plant is notorious as the site of a partial meltdown in 1979. This is what it sounded like on NBC.
In a nuclear power plant near Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, the cooling system broke down this morning. Some radioactive steam escaped into the air.
Nobody died in the accident, but Three Mile Island remains the site of the worst nuclear disaster in U.S. history, and now the plant's operators say they will close in 2019. It hasn't turned a profit in 5 years. For more on this, we're joined by John Larson. He's director of the Rhodium Group. And John, when you heard the news about Three Mile Island closing this infamous power plant in the country, what'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably the most notorious power plant in the United States. It's been on the margin, on the ropes for a couple of years now. Exelon, the company that owns Three Mile Island, had notified regulators that it had not met eligibility requirements to get additional compensation payments out of the electric power markets for the last couple of years. And that's usually a red flag that a plant is unlikely to stick around for much longer. And that happened again last month, and that was basically the final straw, signaling that Three Mile Island just isn't a profitable plant anymore.
Well, we're seeing that since 2013, six nuclear reactors in the United States have shut down after struggling to turn a profit. Wasn't that long ago that people were pretty bullish on nuclear. So what's your prospects for it?
Right. I think the kind of trends that have been leading to the plant closures you just described in Three Mile Island, and we've got another five power plants slated to retire currently by 2025. And at Rhodium Group, we've got another 17 gigawatts of power plants, nuclear power plants, at risk of retirement over the next 15 years. And all of that is because of these market forces: cheap natural gas, cheap renewables, not enough increases in demand for electric power. These nuclear plants used to be cheap, relatively speaking, but as other power sources from renewables and gas are now outcompeting, nuclear doesn't look as cheap as it used to.
Well, it's interesting because most of the news that we hear about natural gas competing with other forms of energy is in the coal industry. Last month, I was reporting in Arizona on the pending closure of a coal plant there. It's the Navajo Generating Station. It's the largest coal plant in the West. And the question that comes up when I see these closures is that the power that these plants are providing still needs to come from somewhere. So how can we afford to lose them?
Yes. The market is remarkably good at allowing competition to find ways to fill the gaps. Electric demand in the U.S. has largely been flat over the last decade. So you're not having increased demand for power. It's all you just have to backfill what you're losing from these power plants. And in the meantime, the cheapness of natural gas and the cost reductions for wind and solar have really made it very economical to build these new plants to fill in the gap.
Well, you know, utilities and energy companies then are making long-term decisions. They're shutting down some infrastructure and they're building, as you say, these new plants, which have got to cost billions of dollars. And they're doing that based on the price of natural gas today. Is there a cautionary tale at all that this is a good plan in the long run? Because the price of natural gas, as you know, can fluctuate quite a bit.
It can. I mean, you know, like with anything, you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. But I think some context is important here. In 2016, natural gas generated about a third of total U.S. electricity, and coal was about a third. As trends continue and you see gas, you're going to see gas playing a bigger role, but it's unlikely to take over the entire grid anytime soon. And in fact, over the last 3 years, renewable energy power plants have actually been the dominant source of new electricity in the United States. We've been building more wind and solar than we've been building gas.
Hmm. How will all that play into President Trump's decision to pull out of the Paris Climate Accord yesterday?
Well, you know, in 2016, CO2 emissions in the power sector were the lowest they've been since the early 90s, in large part due to the factors we've just been talking about: cheap natural gas, increasingly cheap renewables, and flat electric demand. those three trends aren't going to change anytime soon. Natural gas prices are likely to stay cheap in the near future. Solar and wind are only getting cheaper. And electric demand, there's really, in absence of some gigantic economic recovery, we really don't see a change there. And so I think you're going to see CO2 emissions continue to go down in the power sector, absent additional federal action to deal with emissions elsewhere in the economy. We are not quite going to be on track to get anywhere close to where we would have been under the Paris commitments. The numbers we've put together at Rhodium Group, the best case scenario is about 18 to 19% below 2005 levels by 2025. That's a long way from where we need to be, both on the science level and also in what we would have achieved under the Paris goals.
That's John Larson, director of the Rhodium Group. John, thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks, Peter.